Amen. If you have your Bibles, and I hope you do, turn with me this morning to Daniel chapter 12. Believe it or not, this morning we are concluding our Daniel series that we began many, many months ago. Think about Daniel and his friends for just a moment. They were taken from their homes as teenagers. They were exiled into a world of pagan power and pressure. Yet they never let the darkness snuff out their light. They stayed faithful to God in the court of kings, in the face of lions, in the heat of a furnace, and even in the mystery of prophetic visions. While kings rise and fall, empires come and go. Daniel learned that God remains the same, sovereign, holy, and in complete control over history. Daniel reminds us we can stand firm, trust God, and shine because he is still on his throne. This morning, we find ourselves in chapter 12. Chapter 12 is the conclusion of Daniel's fourth and final vision that we began back in chapter 10. I've entitled this message, Shine Like the Stars. In chapter 10, we were reminded that you and I are in a spiritual battle, a battle between good and evil. Then last week, we looked at the accuracy of Daniel's vision. In the first 35 verses of chapter 11, one writer shared that there are 135 prophecies which have already been fulfilled and can be proved by the study of history. Then we concluded our time looking at the future, at what will happen at the end of days when the Antichrist rises to power. We will learn from Daniel 12 this morning that God has secured the future, including our resurrection and our reward. As believers, that should give us comfort and great hope and should lead us to shout upon the mountains that Jesus saves, because we know that God is a God of his word. So notice our first point this morning. It is this, a glimpse into the future. Let's read verses 1 through 3 together this morning. At that time shall arise Michael, the great prince who has charge of your people. And there shall be a time of trouble, such as never has been since there was a nation till that time. But at that time your people shall be delivered. Everyone whose name shall be found written in the book, and many of those who sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, and some to shame and everlasting contempt. And those who are wise shall shine like the brightness of the sky above, and those who turn many to righteousness like the stars forever and ever. So verse 1 begins with, at that time. So this is referring to the end of days for the Antichrist. We know the Antichrist is going to cause destruction and be responsible for the death of countless numbers of people. But there is a promise that his days are numbered. And when his days come to an end, the Lord will raise up the archangel Michael, who is described as the great prince who has charge of God's people. Michael is seen as a warrior in Scripture, as a protector, and we read of that and see that throughout, but especially in Revelation chapter 12. At the time of the end, it will be a time of trouble, we are told. So again, at that time shall arise Michael, the great prince who has charge of your people. And there shall be a time of trouble, such as never has been since there was a nation till that time. You know, I believe those who are going to experience this time of trouble will be those who come to faith during the reign of the Antichrist, during that time of tribulation. Those who come to faith after the rapture. And this will include both Jews and Gentiles. They will come to faith, but they will experience as believers some of the greatest persecution the church and the world has ever experienced. Now, you and I may not experience persecution today. We may not experience persecution even like many people in the world today. But we're not exempt from the storms of life, are we? We're not exempt from trouble, from marital struggles, financial struggles, job struggles, health struggles, struggles with our kids, our grandkids, adult kids. We're not exempt from death or seeing and experiencing the loss of loved ones. So we know there's going to be a time of trouble in the future. But we are also promised in this passage this morning a time of deliverance. The middle part of Daniel 12 says, "But at that time your people shall be delivered, everyone whose name shall be found written in the book." We are told that the people of God shall be delivered. Who makes up the people of God? Well, God's people are those whose name shall be found written in the book. Every person who has come to faith in the Lord since the beginning of time make up the people of God. What words of comfort for all of us this morning. Every believer can find comfort in the truth that if our name is written in the book, in the Lamb's book of life, heaven is our reward. Is your name written in that book? Have you trusted Christ as your Lord and Savior? If you have, then your name is written in the Lamb's book of life. And let me tell you something. It's not written in pencil. It's not written in erasable ink. It is written in permanent ink. If your name is found in that book, then you have an eternity that is secured in Jesus Christ. Also, we're promised here a time of resurrection. Notice in verse 2, "And many of those who sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life and some to shame and everlasting contempt." The resurrection of Jesus awaits every single person. But notice here, there are two resurrections this passage speaks to. Those who are resurrected unto eternal life and those who are resurrected unto eternal contempt. What we know is that at the moment of our death, for the believer, our reward is heaven. 2 Corinthians 5:8, Paul wrote, "Yes, we are of good courage, and we would rather be away from the body and at home with the Lord." This verse promises us that to be absent from the body is to be present with Christ. For the unbeliever, when they take their final breath, they shall awaken in a real literal place called hell. Notice what Jesus said in John 3:36. "Whoever believes in the Son has eternal life. Whoever does not obey the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God remains on him." At death, one spirit goes to heaven or hell. But we're also told here that one day in the future, there will be a bodily resurrection, a physical resurrection of our bodies. For those who have come to faith in Jesus, our bodies will be resurrected at the time of the rapture. And we will be given new glorified bodies at that time, as will those who have preceded us in death or preceded those in death before the rapture. For those who have come to faith after the rapture, the time of the tribulation, during the time of the tribulation, they will receive their glorified bodies when Jesus comes and establishes his eternal kingdom here on earth. For all the unbelievers, notice, they will receive a new body, but that will come at the time of judgment following Christ's thousand-year reign on earth, as we read in Revelation chapter 20. They will be judged at that time, and they will be cast into the eternal lake of fire. In verse 3, we are assured of a time of reward. "And those who are wise shall shine like the brightness of the sky, and those who turn many to righteousness like the stars forever and ever." What a promise and what a reward. For those who have come to faith in Jesus, we are told that we will shine like the brightness of the sky above. When I was a youth minister, One of my students one Wednesday night wore a shirt to church that said, "Be like the moon, reflect the sun." And sun wasn't spelled out S-U-N, but was spelled out S-O-N. That shining light begins at salvation. It begins the moment the Spirit of God takes up residence in our lives. 2 Corinthians 4:6 says, "For God, who said, 'Let light shine out of darkness,' has shown in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ." That shining will go with us into eternity. One day we will shine like the brightness of the sky as we reflect the glorious radiance of Jesus Christ. Not only that, but specifically it is noted that those who lead others to faith in Jesus Christ will shine. It gives us the impression that we will even shine brighter when we share our faith with others and are privileged enough to lead others to faith in Jesus. This is something that will not go unnoticed in heaven. Next, Daniel was told that there will be a time of delay. In verse 4 we read, "But you, Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book until the time of the end. Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall increase." Well, obviously, Daniel did not conceal the words of this book and or the prophecy within. He wrote it down for the people of his day and the days to come. But when it came to the latter part of this prophecy, the angel of the Lord was making it clear to him that the words are not for today, but they are words for the future. So notice our second point this morning. It is this: a sealed certainty for the future. Beginning in verse 5, we read, "Then I, Daniel, looked, and behold, two others stood, one on this bank of the stream and one on that bank of the stream. And someone said to the man clothed in linen, who was above the waters of the stream, 'How long shall it be till the end of these wonders?' And I heard the man clothed in linen, who was above the waters of the stream. He raised his right hand and his left hand toward heaven and swore by him who lives forever that it would be for a time, times, and half a time, that when the shattering of the power of the holy people comes to an end, all these sayings would be finished. I heard, but I did not understand. Then I said, 'Oh my Lord, what shall be the outcome of these things?' He said, 'Go your way, Daniel, for the words are shut up and sealed until the time of the end." So at the conclusion of this vision, one of the angels seeks answers to when this time of trouble would end. And the answer comes in verse 7, "A time, times, and half a time." Specifically, the last half of the 7-year tribulation period when the Antichrist will unleash his reign of terror on the world. That is when it will come to an end. Ray Pritchard shares, "The same verse also gives us a crucial insight into the purpose of the tribulation. It is to break the power of the holy people, that is, the nation of Israel. God allows the Antichrist to rise to power in order to break Israel's pride and to prepare the nation, those who survive to the end, for salvation. Some people have to hit rock bottom 2 or 3 times before they will cry out to the Lord for help. The tribulation is not simply a judgment. It is also a prelude to an outpouring of God's divine grace upon those who will be given a second chance following the rapture, Jews and Gentiles alike." I think all of us can relate to the fact that sometimes we have to hit rock bottom, not once, not twice, maybe not even 3 times before God fully gets our attention. And that's what's going to happen to those in the end, both to the Jews and the Gentiles, to the nation of Israel and the nations of this world, those survivors. They're going to hit rock bottom, and many are going to place their faith and trust in Jesus Christ. What is hidden from us is already settled with God. Daniel did not fully understand. There are things here that we don't fully understand, but we can trust God and we can wait until all of this unfolds that God intends it to. When the future is unclear, that is when the faithful must trust in the Lord, who knows and sees it all. Daniel tells us that he heard, but he did not understand in verse 8. It's okay not to understand. It is when we don't understand that we know we can turn to the Lord for wisdom and understanding. James in verse 5 of chapter 1 recorded these words, "If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives generously to all without reproach, and it will be given him." So Daniel sees a glimpse of the future. He hears about the times of trouble and deliverance and resurrection. But when he wants to understand more, he's told, "Go your way. The words are shut up and sealed until the time of the end." Just because we don't know everything, that doesn't mean that we can't trust God with everything. It's when we don't understand that we need to trust God more, when we need to lean more heavily upon His Word and lean more heavily into prayer. Notice next, there is a time of cleansing and a reckoning that will happen in the future. In verse 10, we read, "Many shall purify themselves and make themselves white and be refined, but the wicked shall act wickedly, and none of the wicked shall understand, but those who are wise shall understand." So Daniel is given a great promise here. First of all, he's given a promise of a time of purification. In verse 10 again, "Many shall purify themselves and make themselves white and be refined." During the time of tribulation, there will be many that are going to come to faith in Jesus. Not only will they come to faith, but we know this. In our day, many people are still coming to faith in Jesus Christ. What did Jesus tell us 2,000 years ago? He told us that the fields are white for harvest, but the workers are few. There is a lost and dying world out there in desperate need of Jesus. Many of them are ready to respond to Jesus, but no one has come to them with the word, and so they haven't yet responded. The workers are few, we are told. We need to be obedient to the Great Commission. So what we know is this: there is hope for your wayward child. There is hope for your wayward grandchild. There is hope for your lost friend. There's hope for your lost spouse. There is hope for those yet to come to faith in Jesus. What that tells us is we cannot give up. We must keep praying for them, keep sharing with them, and keep shining, because many of them are ready to respond to the gospel. They just need someone to take the gospel to them. There is also a promise here of a time of wickedness. "But the wicked shall act wickedly," we're told here, "and none of the wicked shall understand." I heard many pastors over the years saying, "Lost people act lost." I think we can understand, we can relate to that, because we see what's happening outside the doors of this church every single day. We see lawlessness on full display when we turn on our television, or when we read about another shooting or stabbing or looting happening in our streets. Wicked people do wicked things, and the world is going to continue to get more wicked until the end of days. There is a great promise, though, that closes out this verse, and that is this: a time of understanding. "But those who are wise shall understand." During the time of tribulation, those who are wise will understand the events of the day. Their blinders will be removed, and the word of God will come alive to them, and they shall respond to the Lord for salvation. They will understand, and they will also understand what their mission is and what the cost of that mission will be. Just as there will be a cost to those in the future, Jesus promised us that there is a cost to us for following Jesus. Jesus spoke these words to his disciples and us in Luke chapter 9. And he said to all, "If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. For whoever would save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will save it. For what does it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses or forfeits himself? For whoever is ashamed of me and of my words, of him will the Son of Man be ashamed. And when he comes in his glory and the glory of the Father and of the holy angels, But I tell you truly, there are some standing here who will not taste death until they see the kingdom of God. There is a cost to following Jesus. In conclusion this morning, notice there's a promise of an end in the future. In verses 11 through 13, we read, "And from the time that the regular burnt offering is taken away, and the abomination that makes desolate is set up, there shall be 1,290 days. Blessed is he who waits and arrives at the 1,335 days. But go your way till the end, and you shall rest and shall stand in your allotted place at the end of days." A lot of things here that we just don't understand. I like what James Bice says regarding verses 11 and 12. He says, "There are things here which we cannot yet explain, and that, my friends, is okay." So notice here the unexplained time. In verse 11, there is another reference to the abomination of desolation that we've already read about in Daniel, and that Jesus made reference to in Matthew 24. What we know is this: the Antichrist will repress worship. He's going to kill believers. He is going to create war and bring utter destruction to all that he comes in contact with. And we're told here in this verse that there shall be 1,290 days. Well, in addition to the 3.5 years mentioned in verse 7, an additional 30 days is added in verse 11. We're not told what specifically this is referring to. Perhaps it is a cleansing of the land that occurs at the coming of the Lord. Then we are told that there will be an additional 45 days, where we read 1,335 days. Again, we don't know what this means. All we know is that it happens at the beginning of Christ's millennial reign. It occurs when Christ sets up his kingdom and righteousness covers the earth, just as the waters cover the sea. Notice next, and in conclusion, there is a time of rest and reward to come. In verse 13, "But go your way till the end, and you shall rest and shall stand in your allotted place at the end of days." So Daniel's mind was filled with exciting and frightening things. Each one of his visions left him probably more curious than before. Perhaps it was easy for those to become a distraction instead of a blessing to him. So the angel concluded with an important reminder: go your way till the end. God has a course he wanted Daniel to complete, and Daniel needed to remain focused on that. You know, yesterday at our men's Bible study, we were talking about the importance of trusting in the Lord. And we need to learn to trust in God during every chapter of our lives. And I shared with them that one of my seminary professors often talked about how you and I are at different quarters in our life. Some are in their first quarter. Some are in their second quarter. Some are in their third quarter. Some are in their fourth quarter. And some are in overtime. Right? They've outlived what they thought that they would. So we'll call that overtime. Regardless of what stage of life we are in, what we know is that God is not finished with us yet. Daniel was in his mid to late 80s when he received this vision. And what he was promised here is that God was not done with him yet. I like what Adam Clark draws from this passage of Scripture. He says, "Every person has a way to go. Every person has an end. There is a rest provided for the people of God, and there is an inheritance for the people of God. In the end, God will draw his people unto salvation. He's going to reward the faithful and fulfill his promises, even if we do not fully understand it all." It's okay not to know it all. But don't settle with not knowing. Turn to the Lord and ask God for wisdom. As we conclude this morning, let me ask you a very important question. If you were to die today, and take your final breath on this side of eternity. Are you ready? Is your reward going to be heaven? Is your name written in the Lamb's Book of Life? If it is not, what is keeping you this morning from trusting in Jesus as your Lord and Savior? In just a moment, we're going to enter into a time of invitation. I'm going to be standing here at the front. If there's a decision you need to make, I want to invite you to come or find me after church. I would love to share with you more about how you can enter into a relationship with Jesus Christ. As believers, let us shine like the stars in the heaven, 24/7. We've got the light of Christ in us. We have the Holy Spirit in us. And we need to reflect the glory of Christ in all that we do. Let's pray together. Let's stand together. I'm going to lead us in a time of prayer. Father God, thank you so much again for this morning. Thank you again, Father, for the opportunity to gather together to worship you. Thank you, Father, for the promise of your word. Father, I know that Daniel has been a very difficult book for us to wrap our minds around. Father, it's more than just a book about lions. It's more than a book about fiery furnaces. Father, it's a book also that lays out for us what will happen at the end of days. Father, as believers, we thank you, Lord Jesus, that you have given us a promise in your word that our names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. It doesn't matter, Father, how everything unfolds at the end. What matters is that our eternity is secure in you. But what we do know matters is whether or not those that we are doing life with, if they were to die today, if they would spend eternity with you. That matters. Their eternal security matters. And so, Father, may that matter to us, and may we go to them with the gospel and share the good news of salvation with them. May we shine like the stars in the heavens because we reflect the glory of Jesus. Father, I pray now during this time of invitation, Lord, that you will move. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If there's a decision you need to make, you come.